Okay, good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, March 6th, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues for our weekly Lunch and Learn, and this week is Parshat Pikudei, and we are going to be looking at Perek Lamed Chet in Sefer Shemot, which is chapter 38, and you could find it in the Chumashim, Lamed Chet Pasuk Chaf Aleph, which is the beginning of the parasha, which is on page 530. Okay, so we are going to be looking at a phrase which appears in the parasha, in the beginning of the parasha, which it's unclear exactly what it's talking about. And we're going to try to analyze some of the opinions that discuss the meaning of this phrase. So let's just read the first couple of psukim. We're again in Perek Lamed Chet, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, chapter 38, verse 21. Eile pikudei ha-mishkan, mishkan ha-idut asher pukad al-pi Moshe, Avodata Leviim, Biyadi Tamar ben Aron Kohen. These are the reckonings of the tabernacle of testimony, which were reckoned at Moshe's bidding. The labor of the Levites was under the authority of Itamar, son of Aaron the Kohen. Ubitzalel ben Uri ben Chor lemate Yehuda, asa et kol asher tziva Adonai et Moshe. Bitzalel, son of Uri, son of Chor, of the tribe of Yehuda, did everything that God commanded Moshe. Ve'ito ahaliyav ben achisamach lematei dan, charash v'choshev v'rokeim, batchelet uva'argaman uva'tolat hashani uva'shesh. With him was Ahaliyav, the son of Achisamach, of the tribe of Dan, a carver, weaver, embroiderer, had a lot of talents, with turquoise, purple, and scarlet, wool, and with linen. We're only going to focus on the beginning of the parsha. In many places, the Mishkan is called Mishkan Ha'idut, which is what it's called here, right? There are lots of places where the Mishkan is called the Mishkan Ha'idut. And the beginning of our parsha, it's the first time that it appears. The first time this phrase, Mishkan Ha'idut, appears in our parsha. And the question is, why is it not just called the Mishkan?
Yeah.
Why is it called Mishkan Ha'idut? Now, I guess first we have to understand what edut means. What does edut mean?
To testify.
Right. Testimony, to give testimony about something, or to serve as a testimony for something. So I guess the question would be, what is the relationship between the Mishkan and edut, between the tabernacle and testimony? What is the tabernacle giving testimony about, right? That it would be called Mishkan Ha'idut. And we're going to look at a number of different approaches that we find in the Mefarshim about that. Anyone want to suggest what's going on in this pasuk before we move on? Zach?
I put this for the tent to keep inside the court. And look, what is the Lachon? It's a physical witness of a relationship between God and Jewish people.
Okay, good.
This is why it's a very important, it's a high function of this tent.
Okay.
And because before it was concluded, it was too premature to talk about it.
Okay,
but
good.
Right now, it's a good time. It's the right moment.
Good. So Zach is connecting the notion of Mishkan Ha'idut with the Aron Kodesh, which had in it the Aseret HaDibrot, which is testimony of the relationship between God and the Jewish people. To strengthen your point, Zach, which is excellent, sometimes, right, what are the Luchot called? Luchot Ha'edut.
A brit.
Both Luchot Ha'edut and Luchot Ha'brit, but they're also called Luchot Ha'edut.
It's like and, a
right, and so the Luchot Ha'edut are the Luchot are the witness of the brit. And since the Mishkan was primarily, you could say, built to house the Aron Kodesh, which was built to house the Luchot, so really the Mishkan was built to house the Luchot. The Luchot are Luchot Ha'edut, and therefore the Mishkan and the Mishkan Ha'edut. It's only one step removed. The real testimony are the Luchot. The Luchot are kept in the Aron Kodesh. The Aron Kodesh kept in the Mishkan, and so that's a connection. So while we're on that thought, I'll share with you the words of the Malbim, who says something very similar to what you said, Zach. I'm just going to find it here if I can. The Malbim says as follows. He says, Ba'avur, so he says as follows. Kvar bi'arti sheyesh hevdel. I'm sorry, no. Well done. No, is it? I'm sorry, it's not the. This is the Ibn Ezra. I'm sorry about that. He says as follows. He says, why is the Mishkan called the Mishkan Ha'idut? He says, because of the Aron, which is in there, which holds the Luchot Ha'idut. And so in the Ibn Ezra's commentary, he says that at length. Lama Nikra Mishkan, Ba'avur Ha'aron, Shesham Luchot Ha'edut. He says it explicitly. And he also says it in his shorter commentary, Mishkan Ha'edut Heim HaLuchot. So if you read the Pasuk, now that we just read, Ela B'gdei HaMishkan, Mishkan Ha'edut doesn't even refer to the Mishkan itself, it refers to the Luchot. Right? So we're not even, right, there's the Mishkan Ha'edut are the Luchot. The Mishkan is the place where the Luchot are held, okay? And the Ramban says something similar. So that's a very, very, that's an excellent answer, okay?
Yeah,
yes.
When Hashem told them to build the Mishkan, what did he say the purpose?
Ah.
Vayiti shochen betocham.
Right, yeah, v'asuli mikdash, v'shachati betocham.
So, but... So Hashem is there,
right? Yes, so that's right. That's the point. The Mishkan is the edut of God's presence.
Yeah, right.
And what is the luchot edut for? What?
Well, the luchot are the luchot. We could say are the luchot is the text of the brit.
The contract.
Yeah, right, between God and the Jewish people. Yeah, exactly.
It reminds me something that maybe it's not the best parallel, but. When the bride and the groom are getting married and they get a ketubah. So it's also
sure.
Kind of a brit between a husband and wife.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
You have the ketubah to
right. I think
dwell
there are,
in the
I
house.
Think there are midrashim that talk about the Torah as the ketubah. There is that notion.
Yeah,
there's okay. there's a ketubah that sometimes we on Shavuot, sometimes there's a ketubah that was written between... God and the Jewish people. I'm not sure where it came from, but this the same idea. Now,
Rabbi,
yeah,
you mentioned something that struck me. You said that it's a contract, it's word of contract between Hashem and the Jewish people.
Right.
Now, is that the Ten Commandments, or is that...
Well, the Ten Commandments is really representative of the entire Torah.
Right.
Yeah.
But what is this contract? That's the first time I've...
The Torah. The Torah is the contract between the the entire Torah. Sure, yeah, it's our constitution. It's our contract. What's that?
Where did we sign it?
We didn't sign it. We said Naseh v'Nishma.
Oh, okay.
Right. We said yes when God offered. We said we will do and we will do and we will hear.
It was
right?
The verbal contract.
The verbal contract. Right. Excellent.
That's what the verbal
now, that's good. Any other suggestions? What's being witnessed? What's being witnessed by the Mishkan? One is the presence of God, which is represented by the Luchot and the connection between Luchot Ha'edut and Mishkan Ha'edut. What else? What other possibilities are there that the Mishkan is testifying to.
Whenever the people of Israel, God forbid, will forget that what happened, here is the Mishkan. Remember, don't forget, we have a dut.
Ah, so it's giving a dut to the Jewish people.
Came.
About their, okay, excellent.
Their contract with Hashem.
Okay, good.
And sometimes we tend to forget.
Yes,
so
excellent.
Don't forget.
Okay, very good.
So
yes.
A dut means what?
A dut is testimony.
Testimony.
Yes,
witness. Yeah.
Whenever you, it's like an artifact, it's a proof in it. Like
right. Okay. Zach, please.
Yes. Addition what we were putting just now, we also have to remember what was said in the Parshat last week.
Yeah.
What is Mishkan? Mishkan is physical manifestation of goodwill of Klal Israel to create something physical. It
yeah.
means it's not only truth from so-called spiritual connection. It also gives
physical,
us,
yeah.
And not only physical, but also desire of all people to be part of it.
Right.
This is why I think it represents a connection between Jewish people.
Okay.
Through whole
right.
History.
Very nice.
Till today, what we dream.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. So let's look at Rashi. Let's look at Rashi. Because Rashi has a different view of this than the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra said, again, it was about the Luchot, and we could say the Luchot is really about the relationship between God and the Jewish people. Rashi says something a little bit different. Rashi is in, you find Rashi in the Chumash, on the right side, where it says Mishkan Ha'idut. Third line, almost the middle of
yeah.
the line.
Yeah.
Mishkan Ha'idut, in bold.
Mm-hmm.
What does Rashi say? Eidut li-Israel, the Mishkan is testimony to the Jewish people. Sheviter lahem hakadosh baruch hu al maaseh ha'egel.
Could be nicer.
Meaning, right? It's a monument.
Oh.
It's a monument of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
The Mishkan. That how do we know that God forgave the Jewish people for the sin of the golden calf? Well, he asked them afterwards to build a Mishkan. Vasuli Mikdash, Vishachanti Bitocham. The fact is that God wants to still be in our presence. And the Mishkan is proof of that. Shaharei, and this is what Rashi says, Hishra Shechinato Beinehem, that God allowed his presence to rest among the Jewish people. So the Edut here is different. It's not specifically about the Luchot Ha'idut per se. It's not about the Ten Commandments per se. It's not about the Aron Kodesh per se. The fact that God wanted some structure wherein his presence would rest within the Jewish people is proof that God forgave the Jewish people for the sin of the golden calf.
And he's it could taking be, them back.
It could, right, he's taking them back. It could be that Rashi is basing himself on a number of fascinating Midrashim, which I will get to in a moment, but first...
Could it be that Hashem realized that the people needed something physical?
Ah,
because
yes,
they,
of
they
course.
They created the golden calf, and...
You're 100% right. Yes, that is certain. That is, yes, that is what the Rambam says. Yeah, but the question is, what does that testify to? So we're trying to figure out what...
presence or
right.
God's
existence. So, right, exactly, 100%.
Sometimes people, when it's too very, very spiritual,
abstract. Right.
They cannot get it.
Yes.
It's very
yes.
hard. But when you see something physical, it's easier to connect.
So there are a number of midrashim. I'll share two of them with you. That it could be that Rashi is basing himself on. This is the first midrash is from the Midrash Tanchuma, which is a very old midrash, as midrashim go, and I'll read it for you. Amar Rabbi Yishmael. Zesiman l'chol ba'olam she'ein slicha el Yisrael bilvad. This is a sign, meaning the Eidut, the Mishkan Eidut is a sign that God forgives the Jew, only forgives the Jewish people. Mishkan Eidut. Eiduti l'chol ba'olam she'kadosh baruch hu nitratzel Yisrael. It's proof to the whole world. Now, it's interesting. Rashi, how did Rashi phrase it? Rashi phrased it as Edut li Yisrael Sheviter.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But now you have another problem. What about the rest of the world, right? This is an interesting theological question. We know that there that Christianity has said that God has rejected the Jewish people. Now, not because of the sin of the golden calf. God has rejected the Jewish people because the Jewish people rejected Jesus. Mm-hmm. And once the Jewish people rejected Jesus, God rejected the Jewish people. So here you have a similar idea. That you have the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf. God is very angry. He wants to destroy. Moshe steps in the breach and saves the Jewish people. Okay, he may have saved the Jewish people. How do we know that God actually forgave? So Rashi says, we know because of the Mishkan, but this Midrash says even more so. The whole world knows. And he gives a parable. Mashal lemaha davar domeh. Lemelech shenasa isha vihi mechavava biyoter. Vahaya mechavava yoter. A king marries a woman and he loves her very much. Ka'asa leha vihinicha vahayu shechinoteha omrot la eino chozer alecha. He got angry at her and he left her. And I think it should be shechinoteha, maybe her neighbors.
Like
say, he's abandoned her.
Like Vashti.
Yeah. Yes, he's abandoned her. L'achar yamim nitratza ha-melech. V'nichnasi ma lepaltin shelo v'achal v'shata. But a little while later, the king is, his anger disperses, and he's placated, and he brings this queen back into his palace, and they eat, and they drink. V'lo hayu shechinoteha, Mami no chinitratzala. But the Yenta neighbors, right, they rather have a scandal. And so they say, no, he doesn't really forgive her. Vaya reach bisamim aleha. Miyad yadu shinitratzeha melechla. But then apparently she had this beautiful scent. And everyone then realized, maybe it was a special perfume of the king, I'm not sure. He realized that he was forgiven. So God too loved the Jewish people, brought them to Har Sinai. He gave us the Torah. He called us kings. But 40 days came, and we built the Egel, and we started calling it the God of Israel. Sorry about that. Then the nation of the world saying, well, God has rejected the Jewish people. Moshe Davin, we saw after the sin of the golden calf, and God said, I have forgiven them in accordance with what you said. And not only that, I'm also going to rest my presence amongst them. Everyone's going to know that I forgot them. So it's exactly the same idea. It's actually more than Rashi. Rashi says the Edut is for the Jews to know that God forgave them. And this Midrash says it's not for the Jews to know that God forgave them, but rather it is for
the whole world.
The whole world to know that God forgave them. There's another midrash, which is interesting on the same along the same lines. Edutu lechol haolam shenitmaneh mipi hakadosh baruch hu. What's this edut? It's an edut that God really wanted this building to be built. Right? You could say, who told Moshe to do this? Right, Mishkan Edut, Davar Acher, Edutu L'chol Olam, Shnitmaneh Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shem Moshe Nitmaneh V'Nitztaveh Al Melechet HaMishkan, V'lo Aso Midat Atzmo, Shaharei Hishra Shechinato B'Maseh Yedehem. Right, well, if this was just Moshe's whim to do this on his own, then God's presence wouldn't have rested in the Mishkan. The fact that God's presence rested in the Mishkan is proof to the world
God
told Moshe to build the Mishkan. So far we have three options. Mishkan Eidut is, as Zach said, it's the It's the testimony related to the Luchot. The Luchot represents the relationship between God and the Jewish people. Rashi says, well, a little bit more. It's proof that God forgave God, the Jewish people, to the proof to the Jewish people that God forgave them after the Egel, after the sin of the golden calf. And the Midrash says it's more than that. It's proof to the people of the world that God forgave the Jewish people. And finally, there's other short Midrash, which indicates that it's proof that God, in fact, commanded this. One other Midrash related, I think, to what Zach was saying. One more. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Ein Edut Ela Torah. There is no testimony other than the Torah. Shneamar Ela Ha'edut V'Achukim V'Mishpatim. When the Torah is defined and referred to when the Torah talks about the Torah, it uses Edut. These are testimonies. Mashal Melech Sheyalo Bat Uvanala Paltarin V'Hoshiva Lifnim Mishiva Heichalim. That king built his daughter a palace, and there were seven like courtyards on the way in. Hotzi sham komi sheikanes el beiti keiluhu nichnas alav. Kach shnei shemot nikra lemishkan. Mishkan ha'edut zo Torah. Makom acher amar lifnei mishkan Hashem. So it's called the Mishkan ha'edut and the Mishkan Hashem. Mar Kadosh Baruch Hu im baze adam at im biza adam et biti keilu mivazeli. If you shame my daughter, it's have you shame me. Im nichnas adam lebeit hakneset uviza torati keilu ala uvaza et kvodi. So again, connecting very strongly the presence of God to the Mishkan. Okay. Yeah.
Wasn't it that the second Luchot HaBrit were giving after Egel to show that Hashem forgave them? I think so.
Yes, that is an option. That is an option. Yeah.
But then so what do they need to do for that? They have their dut.
Yeah, but then if you go with the theory about it, because it holds the Ten Commandments, which is the sign of forgiveness.
Right, right.
You say...
What's your... another question?
Maybe you said it before, but maybe I don't remember. Where does it say that God...
Well, we have it the first time in Teruma, where it says on page 444, right, it says, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Dabar Bnei Yisrael V'Yichuli Teruma Me'et Kol Ish, collect everything. Yeah. And v'yasuli mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham.
Yeah. That's yeah. What I said. Yeah. I didn't remember.
Yeah. It's in Truma. Chafhei Aleph. Starting with Aleph. Mm-hmm. 25 Aleph. Now, while I was preparing for this, I came across a very interesting commentary in the Netziv, which I wanted to share. It's not entirely related to our question, but it is very interesting nonetheless, and will teach us something. Okay, so the Netziv says as follows. You don't have this in front of you. Mishkan ha'edut hu miyutar. First of all, he notes that this word Mishkan ha'edut seems to be extra because we had Eila Pikudei ha'mishkan. What do I need? Mishkan ha'edut. So if you're saying it's talking about the Aron Kodesh, maybe not. But if it's talking about the Mishkan itself, Eila Pikudei HaMishkan, okay? Fine. So that's extra. Uma Shekatuv Kan She'eno Medaber B'Tachlit HaMishkan Ela B'Minyan Hotzaot Melechet HaMishkan Umize Yatza Derash B'Rabba. So he says maybe it's talking about counting the leftover stuff, and he quotes this fascinating midrash in Midrash Rabbah. Sheba Moshe v'sha'al me'akadosh baruch hu ma naaseh b'notar.
Ma od yesh la'asot.
Right, God, Moshe comes to God and says, we have enough stuff to build everything. What should we do with the extra stuff? that people brought. Ma nase benotar. Veshiv lo veshiv koma she'ata yachol hatel al mishkan ha'idut. Throw it on the Mishkan Ha'idut. Whatever extra gold you have, pile it on the Mishkan Ha'idut.
Decorate it.
Right, which is a strange thing to say. And the Netziv explains why that's strange. V'amidrashu pele, lufi ha'nir'eh she'kavanat Mishkan Ha'idut hu ha'aron, she'amad b'kodesh ha'kadashim. It seems like Mishkan Ha'idut is what Zach said. It really refers to the Aron, which was in the Kodesh HaKadashim. Varekvar haya asui. It was already made. Kol tzarcho. You can't just add stuff onto it. It was already made. So what did God mean, according to this Midrash, when he told Moshe, oh, you have some extra stuff? Throw it onto the Aron Kodesh. V'yevshar lahusif. You're not allowed to add onto it. So what's going on? Ella. So here the Netziv teaches something interesting. Nira perush mishkan ha'idut. What does mishkan ha'idut mean here? It doesn't refer to the Aron Kodesh. Hu Aron eitz she'asa Moshe b'tchila. It's a ark of wood that Moshe made. Ve'achar kach amad be'ohel Moshe. This was an ark of wood made originally by Moshe, and then at some later date, it was put into his tent. Okay? Uvo haya munach parshiot shel Torah. And what did he keep in this ark of wood that was in his tent? The written scrolls of the Torah. Ad shenigmira v'huva besof l'kodesh HaKadashim. Until they were finished, Moshe was writing them, and he didn't keep them in the Kodesh HaKadashim. In the real Aron. He kept them in this auxiliary Aron, which was made out of wood at this point, which he had in his tent. When all the Torah was finished, and it was all sewed together, they had a hachnasat sefer Torah, right? They danced and sang like we did when we got a new Torah, and they put it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Kedi'ita b'bababatra sof perek aleph. He says this idea of this other ark is mentioned in the Gemara. Then he has this other very interesting drasha, which it was really neat. Originally, when God told Moshe to make the Aron, it should be out of wood specifically. The wood of the ark is symbolic of the amala, of the work, of the effort needed to study Torah, shenitan bikoach luchot shniot. That is represented by the second set of luchot. Remember, the second set of luchot were written by Moshe. The first set of luchot were maaseh Hashem, by God's hand. Okay, shezed darkah shel Torah, lavo mitchila beoni. This is the way of Torah. You want to be successful in Torah? You have to start off be'oni, with difficulty, with poverty. It's hard work. Amnam achar ha'yigiyah va'amala shel Torah harei yesh shnei derachim. But after you've worked hard and you've amassed Torah, then there are two divergent paths that one can go on. Aleph, mi she'ena mosif lekach b'chidushu pilpul. You say, I've learned a lot of Torah, and I don't continue, I don't build on that. Umagia letachlit digiato b'mheira. And therefore, they've achieved the best of their abilities quickly. Umash nedrash lehora'a, midamei milta lemilta, and what's necessary to give halachic rulings by comparing one thing to the other thing. That ability comes from the ark that's in the Kodesh HaKadashim. Shebimeat zman nitan lisham haluchot hashniot atzman. That in a short period of time, the luchot were given there. Right, the luchot themselves came from Har Sinai, and they were put right there. That's a very high level. But it didn't take a lot of time and did not take a lot of effort. Uva l'tachlit gadluto. And so the Aron Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim achieved greatness quickly and easily. Aval haderech habetu, but the second way of dealing with Torah, misha mosif lekach upilpul, one who after they've achieved a certain level continues, ve'eno magil l'tachlit Torah amaher, and does not achieve their higher status of being able to rule quickly. Ad shiyagia od harbe, until they put a lot more work in. Amnam kishebala tachlit, the tachlito, however, when you get to that point, harehu mosif kavod ugdula, that's then you add honor and greatness. Vizeha koach bal yedei parshiyot shekatav Moshe. That's symbolized by the writing that Moshe did of the books of the Torah. Vayumunachim etzlo. It took a much longer time to get those into the Aron Kodesh, because it took Moshe a lot more effort. It was harder for Moshe to write the Luchot, to write the Torah, than the Luchot. Umishum hachi, hayu od ba'aron eitz. That's why the Torah was still in the ark of wood in his tent. Ad shelevisof, amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, latil alehem zahav kol she'afshar. Until God finally said, oh, you have all the extra gold? Don't put it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Put it on your Aron, the wood one that was in your ark, in your tent. L'lamed she'en keitz v'gvul l'chvodo.
But it's the
same. To teach that there's no end or boundary or limit to Moshe's greatness. U'lefi zeh hadarush yihyeh mashmu'ut ha'mikra she'anu umdimbo. Ela p'deh mishkan hayadua ad ko v'od her'eh cheshbon kama ole al mishkan hadut. So you had the Mishkan. And the Mishkan Heidut, which was the ark in Moshe's tent, which that's what the Midrash is talking about. The Midrash is talking about that additional Midrash, Shehu Ha'aron Shel Ohel Moshe, Asher Hu B'ma'ale Ramah V'Gavoa, Shekedushato V'Gedulato, Ein Tzorich L'Gvul, Hamakom Shel Kodesh HaKadoshim Davka, V'lo Gvul, Shel tzimtzum zahav shehu mashel lechavod. The Aron Kodesh in the Kodesh HaKadashim had a limited amount of gold and silver, a gold that was allowed onto it, because that was sort of the easier way to achieve Torah with God's help and the Luchot, and it was quick. The more difficult way to achieve Torah is through the hard work. It takes a very long time, but the greatness that one could achieve is even more than the greatness you can achieve in the Kodesh HaKadashim, which is why God said, oh, all the extra gold, just keep on bringing it. Doesn't make a difference, because there is no limit to the greatness that you can achieve if you put effort into it. So through interpreting the Pasuk this way, the Netziv offers a beautiful insight into the importance of working hard to achieve a certain mastery of Torah, even more, it's even greater than the mastery or the level of greatness that one could attain in the Kodesh HaKadashim. So despite the holiness of the Beit HaMikdash and the Mishkan, it doesn't rise to the level of the holiness of the Kodesh of the Aaron and Moshe's tent, because Moshe really put his own effort into it and was not satisfied with anything less than that.
So when he said Ohel Moshe, he means the Ohel Moed?
No, Ohel Moed is the Mishkan.
Ohel Moed is before the Mishkan.
Ohel Moshe, well, yeah, but Ohel Moshe is his tent where he lived.
And after he
you mean
died,
so the Aaron?
What?
So after Moshe died.
No, somewhere.
Yeah.
Move it to the Mishkan.
Well, eventually it was moved to the Mishkan, but until then, it was in his tent. Yeah, the Ohel Moed.
That it was moved there with all the gold.
So that's what I said. Is that the Ohel Moed that follows them in the Midbar till they?
The Ohel Moed is the Mishkan. Ohel Moed is the Mishkan.
So what? Where was the?
Is that the one she asked that followed in the Midbar?
Yeah, the Mishkan.
Which was in Moshe's tent?
No, the Ohel, no, there's Moshe had a tent where he lived, and there was the Mishkan, which is where the menorah was, the Aron Kodesh was. The
was not Aser the Dibot yet. They didn't give them.
Yes, the Mishkan is only after. The Mishkan comes after the sin of the golden calf.
What was before
this
the
was
Mishkan?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
What?
That Anan hayah oleh.
Anan, but there was no Aseret HaDibrot, there was no Aron, there was nothing.
Just Anan.
Just Anan.
Yes, Mishkan b'cheder shel be'olam.
Beseder, aval
Mishkan. Ah, Mishkan. What is Mishkan here?
Mishkan,
Mishkan means, in this case, an Aron.
That's where Moshe's.
In Moshe's tent, there was a Mishkan Ha'idut, according to this Midrash and according to the Tziv, which was a box, a wood box, where he kept the Torah scrolls that he was writing. Yeah. Okay, everyone.
Something is missing.
Something I have a problem.
The sequence, yeah.